Could we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 18, please? Gospel of John, and we're turning to the 18th chapter. And as we read this passage, you'll see that the word truth occurs, I think it's three times in this portion. And we're reading of Christ's trial before Pilate. They, of course, were illegal trials. The Jewish courts, commentators have pointed out the different illegalities that took place in this trial. We'll not go into that tonight, but he was led to Pilate. And verse 28, let's take up the reading in John 18. Of course, there are other details given in other Gospels, but we're reading the account here in John chapter 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. You have to pause there and see the hypocrisy. They were putting an innocent man to death. It was out of envy that they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they're so particular about religious observances. So particular about ritual, that they do the right ritual. And yet their hearts are evil, full of hatred. And they want to put Christ out of existence. Of course, they couldn't because he rose again. They couldn't destroy him. But see the hatred and the hypocrisy. Verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. In other words, they were asking for the death penalty, not simply a punishment. They wanted Jesus of Nazareth put to death. That's why they came to Pilate. Verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. We know the Lord shall bless this reading of his own infallible word for his own glory. We welcome it. To nine, so I'm sure you all knew that was a slip of the tongue. A quarter to seven, 6:45, a quarter to seven. And again, if you can help in that, do please remember that and Joyce as she comes. In John 19, verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, that's Christ, What is truth? What is truth? Let's look to the Lord briefly in prayer. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we hold the truth in our hands, that Thy word is truth, and forever Thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. We thank thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, as truth. Lord, help us tonight as we think upon the illustration of Pilate, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This campaign, Consider Christ, we spoke a few weeks ago upon that term. Consider Christ three times in the book of Hebrews. Consider Christ. Consider his authority, his ability, his atonement. And then we looked at the way. Now, earlier in the year, we did preach on Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The different windows we have here with the I Am sayings. But we spoke a few weeks ago from Isaiah 35 on the highway to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. The campaign has Jesus Christ, consider him, he the Savior now and forever. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sure you've all seen it so often now, you'll get to realize it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And tonight I want to think about the truth from this passage. Do you notice it occurred three times in the reading, the truth? Now, it's a courtroom scene. And if there's any place you need to tell the truth, it's in a courtroom. The well-known story is told of a little boy, about 12-year-old, was going to be questioned in court. And you know these smart aleck lawyers when they cross-examine you. And he said to the little boy in questioning, I suppose your daddy told you what to say. Yes, sir. I suppose he went over you and told you exactly what you're to say in your evidence. Didn't your father tell you what to say when you're on the witness stand? Yes, sir, he did. Well, what did he tell you what to say? He told me, son, whatever you're asked, the lawyers will try and trip you up, but son, you just keep telling the truth and you'll be all right. Just keep saying the truth. And the courtroom's the place where you want to have the truth. And Pilate is here in a courtroom, because you know a courtroom is supposed to hear both sides of a case. And the judges are supposed to. I say supposed to because often it doesn't happen. But they're supposed to weigh the evidence and to look at the facts and gauge the truth. And here early in the morning, the Jewish leaders are so keen to get Christ to death. At night he's arrested. They go through an illegal trial. But they're not supposed to put anyone to death in their court. So they bring him to Pilate. And he's before this judge. And in verse 38 with this great text, what is truth? Pilate is responding sarcastically. Of course, we know the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are wanting in the campaign for men and women and young people to see the posters, read the leaflets. Billboards are due to come down, although some will stay up because there's no new ones to go up yet, but some of them are already down. It was for 2 weeks. And we're praying that God, the Holy Spirit, will cause men and women to stop and consider Christ and to judge in themselves what they will do with Christ. Now, I know a lot will not do that. They'll just simply look at the post. They may see it for a minute, move on. We're praying that as they see it again and again. I was talking to one of the men who have been printing the literature, the logo, that firm, and they said they're told in advertising to stick in your mind, you need to see the same picture 7 or 9 times. And we trust even as they look at the buses, the leaflet, etc., etc., they'll get the message, consider Christ. We know some will pass it on out their mind, but we're praying some people will stop and consider Christ. Now, here's the point, as I thought about what will I say about Christ, the truth. Pilate was confronted with Christ. He had to consider Christ. He had no option. He couldn't run away from it. He couldn't say, no, I don't want to think about this. I'll get busy with something else. He's confronted because he's the judge. And he has to do something with Jesus Christ. So here's a man who is considering Christ. That's the point I'm making. And I've heard of those who have considered him. There's been good reports coming back of news of people keen to get the literature. I know of one place where a young man was called into the office where he worked, and the boss wanted to see him, and they got a strange question. is that your church that sent these leaflets out? He said, it is. He said, well, you thank them. Because my father got one through the door and he read every word of it. And he was so struck by it, he brought it up to hospital. And he read it to my mother, every word of it, and it brought her comfort. Oh, just by the way, it's a Roman Catholic family. Roman Catholic family. Who took the leaflet in for the mother. Oh, that would be repeated many times, that people would consider Christ. Consider him. And as I thought about this campaign, I want you to think of Pilate's questions. Pilate's questions. I was struck here that he asked six questions. Isn't that amazing? He's a man who asks. Of course, a judge should ask questions. Of course, judges, different case here. We have a judge separate from the lawyers and so on there. The judge would ask questions. Some countries in the continent, that's still the case. The judge asks questions to ascertain. Some courts here, that happens as well. But Pilate is a man who, it's good to ask questions. It's good to ask questions. Remind the little boy, you know how little children sometimes when you're with them, daddy, daddy, or granda, granda, why is this? Granda, granda, why is that? Granda, why? Granda, what does? Only boy went on and on all day like that. And they're in the bus. Granda, granda, how far is the sun? I don't know, son. How far away is the moon? I don't know, son. Daddy, daddy, why do brown cows drink, why do brown cows eat green grass and give white milk? I don't know, son. Granda, do you mind me asking all these questions? Not at all, son, because if you don't ask, you'll never learn. Well, it's good to ask questions. Of course, sometimes we do ask questions to change the subject. And it's interesting here, the six questions. I was struck as I went down that there are three directly to Christ. You see them there in your Bible? Verse 33, he asks, and remember, Christ is here as the prisoner, the one who's been accused. Art thou the King of the Jews? Then, in the end of verse 35, what hast thou done? Isn't that good questions for a judge? Are you a king? What have you done? And in verse 37, he repeats a similar question. Art thou a king then? And the answer is yes. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's King of the Jews. He's King of Israel. He's King of saints. He's everlasting king. What has he done? He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Opened the eyes of the blind. That's what he did. So we can answer those questions very quickly. But then, he asked two what we call rhetorical questions. That's what that means is, they're not really for an answer. You state a question, but you're not looking for an answer. It's more sometimes sarcasm. You can see it here in verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? And of course he wasn't a Jew, and everybody knew he wasn't a Jew. So it's a sarcastic question. Rhetorical, we call it. And then in verse 38, that text we read earlier, what is truth? You see, Christ is telling this man that he's the truth. And those who love the truth and are of the truth will listen to Jesus Christ. And they get out of the pressure to try and not face up to the truth of what Christ is saying and the fact that Christ is the truth. He said, what is truth? He's not looking for an answer. And of course, really that describes today, doesn't it? Because today, in many circles, there is no truth. That's what the ecumenical movement's all about. Truth's a fantasy to them. Ecumenist is somebody who doesn't think their own religion is good enough, their own faith, and they try to find truth here and find truth there and find truth in the other place. That's what they try and do. They're a bit like the story about the man standing round an elephant. Maybe they told you that in school. Comparative religions. And they talked about the blind man coming to look at to try and feel what an elephant was. They hadn't a clue. Someone said an elephant. One man feels the side. Oh, an elephant is like a wall. The other blind man, he goes and feels the tail. Oh, an elephant is like a rope. Somebody else goes to the ear and it's flat. Oh, an elephant is like a fan. And that's just like all mankind. We're all coming to God to find the truth. And we learn from each other to find out. And that's why we have to
study all the different faiths, to try and seek truth, to try and... That's a popular theory. That is what is taught in many a school when you come to religion, comparative religion. And those today don't believe in truth. Years ago, the famous actress Jane Fonda was in a famous interview with a professed Christian. And the Christian made the point that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And their answer was, maybe he is for you, but not for me. Maybe he is for you, but he's not for me. Oh, listen, he is the Son of God. Of course, by the way, I'm sure you know Jane Fonda has made a profession of faith in Christ. Attends a Presbyterian church in America. But that's the idea of many today. There's no relative truth. But the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. That's what we're saying. He is truth. The Son of God is truth. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ asked one question. Pilate asked six. Christ only asked one. We're thinking of questions here. Look at verse 34. This verse struck me. Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" That's a tremendous verse. I remember preaching on that some years ago, but just very briefly, let me say, isn't that a tremendous question? Have you made up your own mind, or are you just following what people tell you? Do you know there's a lot of people going to look at the signs and get the leaflets, "Consider Christ"? And some will say, "Well, I don't need to do that because my church will take care of me. I don't need to do that because being saved's only for the real down and out, so my friends have told me. My minister, my priest will take care of my religious matters. I don't need to consider this." They don't want to think for themselves. You see, what Christ is really saying is, are you just repeating what people have told you? A lot of people do that. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ has said it was crucified because it was rumored that he said, "I'll destroy this temple," the temple in Jerusalem. He hadn't said that. He didn't say that. He said he would destroy the temple of his body and raise it up again in 3 days. Rumors. And there's many believe lies and deception about the gospel and about the things of God. And so it's a good question when someone comes to you. Maybe you've tried to witness to somebody and they'll say, "I don't believe the Bible. It's full of errors." Do you ever notice when people say that? "Oh, the Bible's full of mistakes." And you say, "Would you show us some?" "Oh, well, I have to go." Do you know it yourself, or did somebody tell you? You see, a second-hand faith is no good. A second-hand faith is no good. That's the point. And that's the only question the Lord said to Pilate. "Pilate, is this you, your mind, or are you just repeating what you've heard?" Pilate knew what was truth. And of course, the great question, and really, the question here that's asked, "Did you think of it yourself?" is given in a slightly different way. Because the greatest question that anybody can face in this life is the account, I'll just read it to you for time, Matthew 27:22. Pilate saith unto the crowd, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What shall I do with Christ? Pilate asked the crowd that. And really, he was asking himself too. Because when Christ was asked, saying to him the question, "Pilate, are you just repeating what people have told you? But what do you really think?" So Pilate, this man who asked six questions in just a short passage, he has asked a question of the people. But what I'm saying is, I'm applying it to Pilate. There's a low Pilate asked it of the crowd, to the Jews, "What will you do with Christ?" That was what Pilate had to face. So think now of Pilate's quandary. He is faced with a question. He's not asking the question now. He's faced with a decision. It's one thing to ask questions, it's another one to answer them.
Some people may say, consider Christ, and you give them a leaflet and talk to them and say, I'm not going to decide. You have to decide. You see, every one of us as we leave this meeting tonight will make a decision. Either you'll decide to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, or you'll renew that decision. You'll renew it. And as we pronounce the benediction, you will be renewing that decision that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But you can't say to yourself, well, I'll not make any decision tonight. I'll just leave it for another time and think about it. You can't. Because by not deciding, you are deciding not to have Him as Savior and Lord. Isn't that obvious? That's the truth. That's logical. By saying, I'll not decide tonight, I'll think about it, what in effect you're saying is, I will not have this man to reign over me. So Pilate that day had to make a decision. He's in a quandary. What will he do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, neutral, you cannot be. Neutral, you cannot be. What about this quandary? It was a personal quandary. What will I do with Jesus? That's something every one of us has to face up to. Every person who saw that poster and thought for a few moments, and if the Holy Spirit stopped them in their tracks to look at it, and maybe remember the Sunday school, or remember a tract, or remember preaching, or even to stop and say, I wonder who Christ is, I wonder what this means, or they've read the leaflet, they're faced with a personal decision. They have to make it. It's not what will I do with the hypocrites in the church, or what will I do with that denomination, or what will I do with this subject. It's what will I do with Christ. And it's a present question, because you must decide now. Because, as already said, by not deciding, we're saying no. It's a pressing question. You see, I believe in this time, the Holy Spirit was at work in Pilate's conscience. You see, it was a strange trial. Pilate was trying Christ as judge. But in reality, there was a far greater trial going on, and God was trying Pilate. That was what was going on here. Because Christ will be the great judge at the end of time. In a sense, in a certain sense, Christ was in Pilate's hand at that moment. Only because the Lord permitted it, of course. He's sovereign. But yet, humanly speaking, Christ was in Pilate's hand, but really Pilate was in Christ's hand. A pressing question. I want you to think of the evidence, too, in the trial. The evidence was very strong. Conscience was speaking to Pilate. Conscience was telling him that Christ was innocent. Luke 23:4. I find no fault in this man. It's in the portion I read here as well. There's no fault. He's innocent. He said it out to the crowd. I find no fault. What is truth? Pilate sarcastically answered. Well, Pilate knew what the truth was because his conscience told him, this man's innocent. He's absolutely innocent. And his conscience told him. And then, of course, the voice of reason told him. He just had to weigh it up. You see, in Matthew 27:18, it says he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate was no fool. He was the governor of that area. Not only did his conscience tell him that Christ was innocent, he knew in his mind what this trial was all about. He knew it was just a mockery. Pilate knew that those religious leaders had just brought Jesus of Nazareth before him because they were envious of him. He knew what was going on. He knew their motives. That's the whole point. And I'm saying, there's many a person, and they know in their conscience that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. And they know they need to be saved. And then there was the evidence of a loved one. Because if you know the story over in Matthew 27, you know what happened. Pilate's wife came to him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to his wife in a dream. And she came to her husband and said, Pilate, have nothing to do with this just man. And so his wife is pleading with him, husband, don't do anything to this just man. Matthew 27:19, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Is there many a person that has been spoken to by mother, father, friends, loved ones, encouraged to come to Christ, encouraged to believe the gospel? All the evidences. These are all the evidences that a person ought to consider Christ and trust him as their Lord and Savior. Surely you know the story of a young man who had drifted away and didn't like his parents speaking to him about the gospel. And he came in one day in a rage and said, look, I was coming home there and a man handed me a gospel tract. I'm sick of gospel tracts. Tired of people giving me a tract. I wish I could go somewhere where you don't get a gospel tract. And his mother, with tears in her eyes, said, son, if you go on without Christ, you'll be in hell. And there are no gospel tracts in hell. There are no gospel tracts there. Can you see how Pilate illustrates people today? God is this story in the Bible. Not so that you think, oh, there was a Roman governor back then and he did such and such. Yes, that's true. But it's here as an illustration. You see, we're all the same human nature. And apart from God's grace and mercy seeking us, we'd all go down the same way as Pilate. Try and squirm out of the quandary of deciding for Christ. And this man's in a quandary now. And saying he knows what he ought to do. But I believe the voice of deity spoke to him as well. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God in human flesh, was speaking to this man. In fact, in verse 37 of chapter 19 of John, he says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Christ is saying to Pilate, I'm truth. I'm king. Christ is God in human flesh. And how many people are there in this land? Their loved ones have spoken to them. They know in their conscience the need to trust Christ as Savior and Lord. In fact, in some way they bear more responsibility than Pilate. Because the people today, they know that Jesus Christ was crucified. That he did suffer and die according to the prophecies in Scripture. That he was buried, and they know that the third day he rose again from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. And yet, in spite of all the evidence, they won't accept him. You see, there were pressures. There was the outside influence. You know, there's some judges are not faithful judges. They're dishonest judges. And even they know in a case the right way of it, for outside pressures they'll make a wrong judgment. Pilate was one of those. He knew what he ought to do. But there was the pressure of popularity. Mark 15:15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas. He wanted to please people. Wanted to please them. How many people have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior because they want to please the crowd? To many people, that's their God, popularity, to be one of the in-group, not to be different. And of course there's pressure, especially upon young people today, in school or starting out in work, there's pressure to conform. And there's that thought, my, if I take a bold stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll not be popular anymore. That's what was going through Pilate's mind. And so he released Barabbas to content the crowd. But then his position. You see, Pilate wanted to release Christ. There's no doubt about it. He wanted to do it. But then the crowd said, this man's against Caesar.
You're a friend of Caesar's. It was Caesar that put him in his post. That's the pressure of position. Pilate was afraid if he released the Lord Jesus Christ, he might lose his job. He might lose his position. And Pilate was more interested in a political post there in Palestine than he was having a position in eternity saved. That's why he did the wrong thing. Cost him too much. And then there was the pride. It's interesting, in John 19 verse 10, Pilate said unto Christ, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee?" That's his arrogance and ego and pride. That's later on when after he was scourged. See his arrogance saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ. As if he's saying, "Do you not know who I am? I have power." No, he didn't have power over Christ. Christ had power over him. How many people don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ because of rotten pride and arrogance? But then Pilate tried to do something that some judges do in courts. I was reading this, I couldn't help thinking. You know what some judges, if they have a difficult case, do you know what some of them do? They pass it off to another court. Oh, I'll not make a decision. See how I can get out of this. Pilate tried that act. He heard Herod was there, so he sent the Savior to Herod, but Herod sent him back again. He couldn't get rid of his quandary. What will you do with Christ? What will you do with Christ? He had to still make a decision. Tried to ignore it. And then he said in chapter 18 and 31 there to the Jews, "Take ye him and judge him according to your own law." He said to the Jews, "You judge him. You judge him. I don't want to do it. I want to ignore this question. I don't want to consider Christ. I want to forget about it. I want to get it out of my mind." Trying to shift the decision to somebody else, but you can't, because it's a personal decision. Oh, he said, "I found no fault in this man." That was good. That was good as far as it went, but he wouldn't bow down before him. And then, just to hurry to the end of the message, he tried to deny what he had done. Tried to deny it. He handed him over to be scourged. Handed him over to be crucified. He made his decision. He did consider Christ. Christ had told him that he was the king. Christ had said he was the truth. Christ had said, "Pilate, I am the truth." And the one that loves truth hears me. Hears the truth. But Pilate made the wrong decision and said no. But he tried to deny that he had done it. Of course he had done it. It's obvious. It's obvious. He could have said, "No, this man's innocent. I've told you he's innocent. I've told you there's no fault in this man." But he handed him over to the soldiers to put him to death. And then he went and got the well-known story of the basin of water. And there before all the people, he washed his hands. And he said, "I'm neutral. I'm innocent. I didn't reject Christ." But he did. Because the hand washing couldn't stop him. He was guilty. You know, the sad thing as we think of this campaign, we're praying that there will be those who will come and trust Christ. But sadly, because of human nature, and we know how men and women act, and we've got the illustration of Pilate, there'll be some will consider Christ for a moment or two. They may even say, "I know Christ is the Savior. I know I ought to be saved." But yet, they'll reject them. And if you challenge them, they'll try and get out of it, just as Pilate did. The sad thing is, Pilate is lost. He's lost.
Because the gavel, as it were, I don't know if it literally came down, but you know what, judge, guilty. That's what he did with Christ, rejected him. Sent him out to capital punishment, as it was in those days, the crucifixion. But when he did that, the verdict in heaven against Pilate was guilty. 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 What is truth? This is the truth. You must be born again. We must be saved. We must be saved. Can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. That's the truth. Christ is the truth. And the question comes to every person. What will I do with Jesus? What have you done with him? Let's turn for a few verses of our well-known hymn.